On today's episode, we're tackling a challenge many adults face, a loss of a libido and intimacy and sex drive in long-term relationships. Plus, I'll share the most important exercise that you can do right now to get stiff. That's coming up today on Gimme an E! I'm Dr. Rachel, and this is Gimme an E! The show that helps you get hard so that you can breathe easy. Food, supplements, exercises, the latest and greatest technology. If it helps you get up, I'm going to talk about it. It's about elevating your manhood. It's about electrifying your sex life.
It's alive!
One letter, one voice, shout it out. Give me an E! Hello and welcome to Give Me an E! And this week I want to start with a very special question. It's our Ultimate Stiffness Question of the Week, brought to you by the Ultimate Stiffness Bundle. More information on how you can get access to that is actually in the show notes. Each week I'll select one of the best questions that you've submitted and I'm going to answer it right here. So today's question is...
Hey, how you doing, doctor? My main question, I'm 48 years old. You know, I've been joking for the last 10 years. I did it a little too rigorous a couple times and injured, you know, had some numbness. And eventually, you know, I mean, I did it one last time like a few years ago. And, you know, ever since then, I do get morning wood. The only thing is when I get intimate with my partner, you know, ever since I started joking, like it recovered fast when I first started doing it. But as I did it more, it got to where it's hard for me to ejaculate. Like it takes longer, like I have to put more effort. So, but eventually, you know, I stopped joking altogether. Like 5 years ago, I just stopped doing it because I felt like it wasn't healthy for me anymore. Is this something that can resolve itself eventually in time? Is it mostly damage to the nerves or is it the blood vessels? Is jelking a worse injury than penile fracture?
Okay, so just to give a little backstory, jelking is actually a physical exercise that you're doing using your hand and your penile tissue that men have been using for hundreds of years. As a matter of fact, jelking has been touted as the way that pharaohs were staying in shape and able to get so many concubines and so many wives pregnant years ago, right? So what jelking actually is using your hand, the palm of your hand, to kind of start at the base of the penis and actually squeeze and pull towards the head. So you're actually pushing and pulling all at the same time. And what you're actually, the thought is that you're moving blood flow through the penile tissue. Now, the penile tissue is, of course, elastic in nature. And what happens over time is actually there are whole communities of men who actually reshape and resize their erectile tissue based off of this concept of pulling and moving blood flow. Now, in this particular instance, this 45-year-old gentleman has been doing this off and on for about 10 years. Now, one thing about jelking that's anything else is, as you can imagine, as you're tugging and pulling, if you've been doing this for 10 years, you can actually do it too vigorously. And in his instance, he actually injured himself. Now, with the injury, I want to talk a little bit about an injured penis in general. You know, they call it a broken penis or what have you, but actually what's happening with an injury, whether it's from jelking or vigorous sexual activity, maybe someone comes down on it the wrong way or you go down and ram it into them and it hurts or bends. What actually is happening is that a little bit of bruising happens within the corpus spongiosum. The corpus spongiosum is the spongy, vascular, or blood-filled area of the erectile tissue. Now, in best-case scenario, that bruise kind of absorbs itself and the tissue goes back to normal. In worst-case scenario, a little bit of a scar, the same type of scar that gets on your skin when you cut it or bruise it or injure it, imagine scar tissue growing within the penile tissue. Now, that is ultimately the beginning stages of what we call Peyronie's disease. Peyronie's is actually a plaque of tissue, of scar tissue, that actually makes it so that now that that scar tissue is there, blood flow through the scar tissue becomes difficult. Blood flow around the scar tissue becomes difficult. And in some people, we see compromised erections. In other people, we see pain, we see numbness. It presents itself in a variety of ways. Now, for this 48-year-old gentleman, he's actually, every time he's jelking, he's kind of exercising his erectile tissue a little bit. So he is probably in tip-top shape. But what happened in this case, the reason why it's taking so much longer for him to ejaculate is because now that scar tissue has actually numbed the area. So we're having less blood flow where that scar tissue is, and we're actually, the nerve function is compromised there. So what you would actually do is in a flaccid state, you'd actually kind of feel around on the tissue, just taking your forefinger and your thumb, just kind of pressing and feeling around, and you're looking for any small little P-shaped areas or any little tender areas or any really numb areas. And that would be the area that we would assume the plaque is located. And so what you can actually do is now head to your physician and say, listen, I think I've got Peyronie's. I don't have the kind where my erection is bending over to the side or anything like that, but I do have the kind where I have some residual leftover numbness there. Get evaluated by your physician, and likely he'll send you to someone who does shockwave treatment, who is an expert in this area. And typically what we would do is perform shockwave to that area and boost nitric oxide production there and ask you to pump. And those are the same things that you could actually do at home under your physician's guide. So either way, it sounds like you have a little bit of Peyronie's, a plaque underneath that tissue, and that's really all you need to know in order to kind of get into that space of getting to the root cause of the issue. All right, so thank you for your question. I love it. That is the ultimate stiffness question of the week. If you want to submit your question, you can call 219-200-3000. That number is in your show notes as well. So a little over 2 years ago, I introduced the world to my E-Function smoothie recipes. The results were phenomenal. I took clinically proven ingredients and created delicious smoothies designed to help revolutionize men's sexual health. The Dr. Rachel Institute was founded upon the principle of keeping families together. And the idea that I could help do that just by putting these smoothie recipes into the lives of men around the world was just beyond my comprehension. As a matter of fact, Dale just wrote me the other day to say, my wife and I have been using your E-Function smoothie recipes often. They're working. For me, this podcast is a new way for me to reach a whole new audience, and I want to make sure that you have access to this level of information. So I've got a special offer for you. You can get 25% of my E-Function Smoothie Recipe Book 2.0 with promo code GIVEMEANE, all one word. GIVEMEANE is the promo code. The link to buy my E-Function Smoothie Recipe Book is in the show notes. So I always like to think of you as part of my family and community. And what do we do in a community? We share. So let me share what one of you wrote in about this journey. Kenny writes in, I am a 59 and 2 months African-American, and I tried the hum experience, and it actually works, especially with my wife at 61 plus years old. She had 2 orgasms, and we were so tired and had to go to work the next day that I didn't get a chance to have an orgasm. Tonight is my night, Dr. Ross. And that comes from him simply humming while he's having sex with his wife. Look at that. Oh, thank you for sharing. I want you to share. I want to know your journey. So reach out. I'm over 60 and my wife is not in the mood. I just want to take the pressure off of her. Okay. So I think that one of the best ways to take the pressure off of your wife, I see this a lot. I remember the first time I gave Viagra to a gentleman. patient of mine. I was so excited. He was coming back in telling me how amazing the Viagra was working and everything. This was back when that's really all we did was just give Viagra before we know better now. And his wife made an appointment to come in without him. And she was like, "Doctor, please do not keep giving him that stuff." She's like, "I had gotten used to not really having to have sex. Now I got to have sex." And she was talking to me like it was like eating the worst meal you could possibly imagine. Like, "Please don't make me do this." And so it really put me in a bad position because I'm like, well, he's my patient and he wants the Viagra. She's coming in. She's not my patient, but she doesn't want him to get the Viagra, right? So I'm telling you that story because once you've been in a relationship long enough with somebody, sometimes the other person checks out and isn't really all that interested in sex. And the key to getting them back interested in sex, sure, you know, we can focus on bringing back vaginal moisture, you know, getting the moisture right, using the right lubricant and all of that. But really, we got to focus on pleasure, you know, and we've got to start pleasing them in a way that makes them feel sexual. And I think what's hardest about that process is that, you know, as a gentleman, you know, you've been having sex the same way for years and you feel like, I mean, like what? She used to like this and now she's saying she doesn't really like it anymore. Well, the body changes and our tastes evolve, right? Like you can think of stuff you used to eat or drink and now you're like, gosh, how did I even ever eat that? Yeah, I don't even like it anymore. So what you've got to do is kind of get back in touch with trying to figure out what exactly does she like. So I would say one of the first things you want to do is get her a little vibrator. You know, you guys can click around and look and say, hey, you know, I was thinking about maybe, you know, us trying to get back into enjoying sex more because I know you don't really enjoy it as much as you used to. So why don't we get you a little vibrator? The great part about starting with a vibrator is that clinically, as a sexologist, one of the main ways that we help women rejuvenate down there and bring moisture back is to get them a little vibrator. And the preferred way is a vibrator that has a little bit of suction at the end of it. So that as it's vibrating, it's sucking on her clitoris. And it's helping improve engorgement or blood flow. Because just like you get an erection, she gets an erection too. It's just the erectile tissue in a lady is the clitoral tissue. And the clitoris starts in that little, you know, outward area, but it actually dips down into the walls of the vagina. So when we're starting to increase blood flow to the clitoris, just kind of like as we were talking about earlier, improving blood flow anywhere rejuvenates it, right? This is why we talk about pumping. This is why we talk about dick ups. This is why we talk about moving more and increasing circulation. This is why we talk about the testicular massage. Like we are bringing blood flow to an area. So if you start out, get her a nice vibrator and some lubes. So with ladies, everybody's vagina is a little different. Everybody's clitoris is a little different. Everybody's vulva is a little different. So what lube may work for one lady, the next lady may hate it. She may hate how it smells. It may make her itch, all of that. So get a variety of different lubes for her to try with her vibrator. Now, with that vibrator, say, listen, studies show that if you use this vibrator 4 or 5 times a week, you could start to get moist naturally again. You could start to have feeling back down there. This might improve your sex drive. Listen, one of the quickest ways to get a lady's sex drive back is to get her masturbating. And if you can get her to buy into playing with herself more, then she'll start thinking about sex more and she can actually start to rejuvenate not just the tissue down there and to get things back moister and, you know, ready, but also her brain, she'll just start thinking about sex more. So for the ladies who haven't masturbated before, she's a good church girl. She don't want to do that. You know, she's never touched herself down there. What you want to do is start with a little bit of erotica. So what erotica is just reading aloud things that, you know, we don't really talk about or say. So if you guys get a erotic novel, and I could make some suggestions of which ones there, you know, get an erotic novel. She reads a few pages to you. You read a few pages to her. She reads a few pages to you. You read a few pages to her. And listen, when you start to hear your person say words that you've never heard them say before, when the two of you start to read these stories and you're like, what happens next? Well, he rips her clothes off and he takes her from behind and so on and so forth. What it does too is it helps you realize, well, shit, I never even knew you were interested in this. When, you know, so it helps you like pull the layers off of other things that may be happening in their brain sexually. But two, it becomes a turn on, right? So she can start to use the erotic stories as a stimulus for the masturbation piece, right? So a nice vibrating little object that has a little suction on the end of it to kind of suck the clitoris, but she needs lube on it. So what the lube does is allows that little device to kind of just suck on it and get a little bit of suction going and help improve things there. So 30 to 40 minutes. Some ladies need 30 or 40 minutes four times a week. And you would be surprised how quickly things start to change. She starts to be out and she's like, oh my goodness. And, oh, you know, so start there. Start with connecting, having that conversation. Start with the device. Start with a little erotica. Start with, you know, trying out different lubes, letting her know what's happening. And what you want to do during this process of her rediscovering her sexuality is you don't be real involved in it. You know, the worst thing is she, you know, she thinks it's all about you. So she's like, yeah, okay, whatever. And then you're like over there, you know, with your thing, like trying to get in the hole that she's just rejuvenating, right? So let her have at it for 2 to 3 weeks of her rediscovering herself. Ask her if you can watch. You know, ask her to take a picture or videotape it if she's too shy for it or you're not there. You know, so tease it. Don't just be like, okay, it was great. So even when she tells you she thinks it's coming back alive, still just be like, okay, still flirt with it. Don't overdo it. Don't be overzealous. Don't just dive right back in it. Just let her start to rejuvenate and feel sexual again. And then there. So then the other part to that is gifts. You know, do really nice things that you guys used to do. Buy her nice stuff. Make her life a little easier. You know, stimulate all those pieces that helps her feel like you're trying to be romantic again. Because that's one of the big complaints, too, is like, well, he says I don't like sex anymore, but he doesn't try. He doesn't wine me and dine me. He's not doing anything romantic. We just go out to dinner and look at each other. You know, buy some flowers, do sweet things. Send some of your favorite songs, the songs you guys, you know, that used to make you guys just, you know, melt all over each other. Find the YouTube video. Send it to her throughout the day and be like, this made me think of you. You know, just flirt. And all of that can help rejuvenate her just not wanting to have sex very often. But you got to kind of start on both of those places. You got to start with her brain. You got to start with the clitoral area, helping her rejuvenate. And then I also want you to know that for women who are, you know, aging a little bit, we need our vaginal pH to be a little bit more acidic. So every now and then, getting into a little bath water that has apple cider vinegar in it kind of helps rebalance the pH and can help with this process of rejuvenating too. So pour, you know, running a little bath water, putting a little bit of apple cider vinegar in it, tell her in advance or else she's going to get in here and be like, what'd you put in here? This stank. Ooh-wee. You know, like then it's something else, right? So just be honest and open about it. Try those things and let me know how you're doing. What medications are known to cause ED? Oh my goodness, where do I even start with this one? You know, with the Dr. Rachel Institute, I have a comprehensive list, you know, that we use to kind of train our sexologists with, because I mean, even Zyrtec, Claritin, you know, basic allergy medicines can cause erectile dysfunction. Prilosec, right? The number one thing that everybody's taking for heartburn can interfere with your erections. It annihilates your ability to make nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is so necessary when it comes to getting an erection. So, and here's the thing. Remember, women have erectile tissue too. So her clitoris is basically a smaller penis. So she needs to be able to get erect down there too. So if she can't get an erection, you can't get an erection. You know, nobody's feeling turned on at all. So certain medications will deplete an ability to make nitric oxide. The diuretics have been shown to interfere with that process. Antidepressants, a large number of them will interfere with erections as well. There's calcium channel blockers. You know, we need, okay, so some of you are taking amlodipine, right, for hypertension. Or maybe if you've had a cardiac issue, they've put you on something called a calcium channel blocker. Well, it's a very popular medicine that cardiologists use, family practitioners use. But one thing about it, blocking calcium channels basically blocks your erection too, because we need the calcium channels open in order for the cascade to happen to even get an erection. So there's so many different medications that are there. And maybe that's one of the handouts that we'll create for you guys, is a handout that really goes through and talks about the different meds and how those meds actually can interfere with the erection and why they interfere with the erection. Because every now and then you're on a medication that you really have to be on. And so what can we do to circumvent that? But I tell you, if you've noticed that a medication is causing erectile issues, the first step is having a conversation with your doctor about it. Hey, doc, can you put me on something that is less likely to interfere with my erection, right? And they should go from there. This is great. Colin, Dr. Ross, you're so good at what you do. We thank you for all that you do for us. Colin, thank you. That makes my day. I love it. So I do another podcast where I have honest conversations about every topic in men's health. And I mean every topic. Nothing is off limits. And it's called Live Free, Go Hard. I want to share a clip from a recent episode I did with Josh Deck. When we talk about the fat mouse and the skinny mouse, right? Mm, and they did the
bacteria.
They did the poop transplant. So they transplant the poop from the skinny one into the fat one, and they watch the fat one get skinny. Mm-hmm. Then they take the poop from the fat one and they watch the and put it into the body, into the colon of the skinny one, and watched him get fat. So once you start to understand, wow, when we do poop transplants in people, which they actually really do, mm-hmm. That you can actually change the way they feel mentally, you can change the way they feel physically, and you can change the way they look. That is the key to how powerful this gut bacteria thing really is.
When I said earlier that your DNA was less important than your gut bacteria, I meant it.
You meant it. Because just because your mama and them are fat, just because your dad had heart disease, I try to tell people this all the time, that means the gun is loaded. That doesn't mean the trigger is pulled on the gun, right?
Yes.
Like, we need all this other, these toxins, all the stress, everything else is what pulls the trigger. So just because you have that family history doesn't mean it has to go that way. And I think it's really hard, particularly for people who come from minority groups where, like, you know, where everybody's sick, you got your mama's got hypertension, you got diabetes, you got this and this and this. You almost come into the world thinking, well, I'm just waiting for diabetes to fall out the sky and the hypertension to hit me because the whole family has it. And so what you are talking about and what you're preaching is, listen, if we can change the dynamic of your gut and keep that bacteria happy and have it eating good nutrient-rich fiber and things that they need to survive, then we can actually change that trajectory. And what you thought was your DNA doesn't necessarily really have to appear that way. If you want to listen to the full episode of Live Free, Go Hard and take a deep dive into your stiffness success path, you can find out more and sign up at members.drrachel.com or head over to the App Store and download the Dr. Rachel app. I really want to have this conversation where we talk about this exercise that we've got to master in order to just take your stiffness to the next level. And if you're at that age where you're just not really having any issues, so that you don't end up with any. And first, I'm going to share with you this picture right here. So this gentleman just sitting, it looks like he's on the subway. He's just relaxing and chilling. So look at this diamond area here. We're going to call this our urogenital triangle. And so the bottom part of the triangle, well, it's actually a diamond. The bottom part of the triangle kind of houses the muscles that are responsible for us, for you having an erection, right? So I want you to look at it like this. I wanted to put these perspectives in so you can see it. So when I peel back the layers here, I want you to realize that this muscle, that red that you see here, is called the bulbospongiosum. This muscle's whole entire job is to make sure that you can get erect, right? And when you get erect with it, it's actually that muscle, when it's nice and firm and strong, its other job is to actually compress the veins. Remember, veins drain blood away from the penile tissue. So it's going to compress the veins so that it can close them off so that you can stay stiffer longer, right? Because if those veins leak, venous leakage, if those veins leak, then you can get an erection, but it won't get as stiff as you would like, and it won't stay stiff as long, right? So this muscle right here is so important in the process of getting upright, but actually staying stiffer longer, right? So let's take it one step further, and I want to show you how to isolate these muscles. Okay, so look at this. Now, when we blow it up even bigger, it gives you the opportunity to kind of see what we're talking about here. Now, all of the important muscles here when it comes to an erection are actually the ones in that kind of fleshy pink color. And you'll notice that there's a muscle circling the anus. So what I want to do is introduce you to one of my favorite books. You know, I talk about it all the time, The Tao of Sexology. And I want to share with you a passage from it, just a line that illustrates why this is so darn important. Okay, so this is this. So let me take the penis out of my hair here. It's not good for this new hairstyle. All right, so let me click on edit here. Now, if you'll notice, this line is so important. Now, this is ancient Chinese wisdom when it comes to sexuality. A prime indicator of biological age is the condition of the anus, that is the tightness of the anal sphincter muscles. The anal sphincter muscles belong to the same energy unit as the sexual glands. When the sexual glands are strong, the anal muscles are also strong. When the sexual glands are weak, the anal muscles are also weak. Okay? So why is this so important? Well, this is so important, getting back to our conversation around this exercise that we've all that you all need to master. Not just you, but I need to master it too, because this is the fountain of youth when it comes to sex and longevity and being able to maintain stiffness and wetness for ladies, is making sure that we keep this whole muscle system healthy and strong. And so we can talk about it from the ancient perspective, but let's talk about it scientifically when we're actually looking at these muscles here. So when it comes down to it, I want to make sure that you have the tools necessary to do a dick up correctly. You know, the very quick version of it is to isolate the muscles that you're stopping your urine with. But let's dissect that out a little further, because there's three things that we really need to do when we're doing a dick up correctly. So some of you have very strong power down there, and you'll notice you can sit there and squeeze your muscles down there, and you can just see your penis pop up and down, right? You can see it move a little bit. You can see it shift. Some of us cannot do that. You know, you're not alone if you can't do that. Most of the guys that I see in clinic cannot do that. And because gravity has taken away your ability to do that. So what I want you to do is think of it like this. One, when we're going to be doing this muscle, this exercise, one, we're increasing circulation, which is extremely important, as you know, because that's been a big topic of what we're talking about now. The other one is that when it comes to chi and energy, we're actually improving the energy flow down there. So circulation or energy, we can call them interchangeably. But two, what we're also doing is we're actually likely increasing a little bit of pressure on the prostate, right? So we're doing a little bit of a prostate massage. So what I want you to do when you're thinking about doing a dick up is I want you to think about it in two ways. We want to actually pull the penile tissue in a little bit. So think of it like if you can squeeze it and pull it in towards you, you know, just feel that muscle, close it down, but actually draw it into you, almost like you're pulling your body forward in order to pull your penis in towards you, right? So that's one part of it. The other part of it is, so there's three parts of it. The other part is you want to use the muscle that you are stopping your urine stream with. So that's more of a grab sensation. So you're pulling in, you're grabbing, but you're also using your anus to squeeze your butthole without your buttocks squeezing, right? So if you're weak down there, the first impulse is to just squeeze up your butt and squeeze those muscles. No, you should not have to squeeze your buttocks, your butt muscles, in order to do a dick up properly. You are actually, first step, drawing your penile tissue in. So use the muscle to draw in. Then the next step is to use that same muscle system that you stop pee with, right? And then the next one is to clamp down and close off your anus. And you hold it as long as you possibly can, and then release it, and that is a completed dick up. You do that three times, back to back. One, two, three, and you're done for the day. Now, as you progress, as that muscle system starts to get stronger, you'll be able to hold it longer, but also you'll start to notice that you'll be able to last longer. Your erections will be stiffer. Always makes a big difference. Then what you want to do is as you start to graduate from that, right? You've done the basic dick ups. You've gotten things stronger down there. Now you want to start doing different positions. So first you're sitting doing it. You're either sitting, and when you're sitting, you're putting your whole back up against the chair because that actually is going to help you do the exercise. But then once you start to notice, hey, I'm getting a little better at this, now you can start laying on your side and do it. Then as you get even better at it, you do them in your favorite positions. If you are a stand-up guy, you do it standing up. If you like doggy style, you know, like you get on your knees and do it. You know, if you like to be on your back, you get on your back and do it. And what this is going to do, as time goes by, gravity starts to be our enemy. So as time goes by, as you lay on your back, what you'll start to notice is, dang, this used to be my thing. I used to be able to just lay on my back and, you know, let somebody else do most of the work. But as time goes by, those veins start to be incompetent because that muscle that I just showed you isn't doing its job. It's not strong enough to do its job. And as a result of it, right, the bubble spongiosum isn't doing its job because it's not strong enough. Those veins start to leak. And on your back, gravity causes you to lose your erection quicker. Doing that exercise system that I just reviewed for you will help you clamp this bright red muscle, the bubble spongiosum, around it so that it can help trap the blood flow in there and get you stiffer and, you know, standing a little taller, right? So for those of you who have really strong pelvic floors, you already know when you get an erection, you can go pop, 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 pop. You can just walk around popping it up and down. For those of you who can't do that, check back in 2 months. And if you're doing these exercises regularly, you may be able to do the pop, 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 bounce up and down with it. Okay, cool. So that is the exercise that we should all be doing. And ladies who are watching, we should be doing them too. They're Kegel exercises for guys. I call them dick ups, but they're Kegel exercises for ladies, and ladies need to do the same thing. It helps keep the pelvic floor strong. It allows you to, when you're actually in the throes of passion, to kind of snatch and grab your partner a little better down there. So it's something that should not be ignored. Joel Butte Benford, eat tofu every day and soy sauce. Libido will plummet. Absolutely. Those of you who are eating soy-based products, soya-based products, soybeans, you know, soy is a plant estrogen. It's a phytoestrogen. It's something that, you know, women, we need because we need to get our estrogen levels up at certain times of the month and throughout the year even. But I do not advocate for guys to take soy, especially not little boys, baby boys on soy milk. Grown men taking a lot of fake meat, please, please, please lay off the soy. It is not good for you. It will cause your sex drive to plummet and a whole host of things can go wrong, right? So your scrotum, like lifts, tightens when you do this right without the butt. That's right, Rock. Absolutely. Your scrotum kind of lifts up a little bit. So you know when you're drawing in correctly, your scrotum will lift up a little bit. You can actually put your hand at the base of your penis, and as you start to draw in, you should actually feel it contract down there. And you know, for those of you who are deconditioned, it's weakened, you have an enlarged prostate or what have you, you won't notice. You might say, Doc, I put my hand down there and I don't feel anything. That is extremely common at the beginning of these types of exercises. I see it all the time. You know, we do the same thing for ladies. We ask them to bear down when we're doing a pelvic exam, and we can feel how weak the pelvic floor is. And for guys, it's the same thing. When you lay back, we'll have you do like a wink, squeeze your butt cheeks, and try to do an anal wink where you're actually just squeezing the anus. And a lot of people can't do it. And that, don't fret. Just practice, you know, and get better. Strengthen the area. Awesome. And if you still can't strengthen the area, nothing is seeming, go see your doctor. Ask them to examine you. Say like, listen, I don't think I have enough pelvic floor strength here. Is this right? Because there are pelvic floor specialists that have rehab programs that can kind of help you rehabilitate the area if you are having issues. Awesome. Awesome. I love it. So thank you. Every Thursday here, we hang out and do our thing right here on YouTube and on Facebook. Subscribe to the channel so that you can get alerted when we go live. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter so you know we have specials. Now I'm thinking about putting together this list that talks about the different medications and how they can interfere with erectile function so that you can see if your medication is on that list. You know, if you're interested in that, place it in the comments so that me and my team, we know that that's something you're interested in so that we can put it together and have that as one of the things we send out with the newsletter. I appreciate your energy. I appreciate your testimonials, your questions, and I appreciate you. So listen, it is never over. There's always room for improvement, and there's always room to just make sure there's never an issue, right? You know, things happen, but let's try to plan our lives so that we're doing all of the best things that we possibly can, you know, and then the rest is just icing on the cake. Awesome. So I will see you later. Thank you for tuning in. Anything that I've talked about, the links, you know, prostate massagers and all that, the links are below. We actually have a new USB version of the external massager, so I'm really excited about that. We were using the battery-operated one, which I really like batteries because I've had my vibrator go out on me once because I lost the plug, and I've just been like, you know what? We should go back to batteries with vibrators. So I love batteries, but I also love the USB version, so I'm really excited about that. So any questions, let me know. I'm here for you, and thank you for tuning in. I'll see you next week. Bye. Thank you for listening to Give Me an E. Please subscribe so that you can get new episodes as soon as they're released. And take a moment to leave a 5-star review. Also, make sure that you subscribe to my email list so that you can get men's health-related topics delivered discreetly to your email, get discounts from the Dr. Rachel Institute, win prizes, and so much more. The details are in the show notes below. And if you want more from me, check me out on social media and subscribe to my YouTube channel. Until next week, live free and go hard.